Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. Well, after the hour, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. I am in Copenhagen, Denmark, and I'm over here visiting with the Danes, the Danish government and the American Chamber of Commerce and the International Trade Administration have gotten together along with some other organizations and have created the Danish-American Entrepreneurship Summit. And I'm part of that summit, and I'm very happy to say we're having a great time over here talking to the Danes about how to be more entrepreneurial. They're very much interested in this, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm very excited about what they're doing, what they're trying to accomplish, and the attitude that they have about this. And they've got a great attitude about it. They know other people are a little bit ahead of them. They're talking about American entrepreneurs, and they want to learn from you. And that's the reason they've invited me over here. And one of the guys who's responsible for me being here is the guy sitting in front of me right now. Randy C. Mitchell is International Trade Strategist with the International Trade Administration, which is part of the U.S. Department of Commerce. Randy, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks very much for having me.
It's good to have you here. Thank you for inviting me to come over and participate in this outstanding event.
Well, we're delighted, of course, that you've been here and you've been able to contribute and share some of the U.S. best practices on entrepreneurship and your small business understanding and really bring that wisdom. And as you've already mentioned, the Danes are quite hungry for knowledge and information. And this is an important part of U.S. international trade in helping our trading partners, in this case Denmark being a member of the EU, one of our largest trading blocks. It's very important for us to help our U.S. entrepreneurs enter the EU and enter on a level playing field where entrepreneurship is understood so that our entrepreneurs can come in and begin to trade in goods and services.
Well, absolutely. One of the things that I tell small business owners all the time is we're only 5% of the customers on planet Earth, right? Everybody else is somewhere else, including Denmark. And so if we want to really be part of the global economy, we need Denmark's economy to be doing well so they can buy our stuff.
Precisely. If we can have the European Union, China, Russia, India, the big significant markets for the United States, if we can have entrepreneurs and those people, the employees who are working for entrepreneurial startups, buying U.S. goods and services, whether for their own personal consumption or whether for their business use, then, of course, it's all good for U.S. business. And, of course, doing everything that we can do to reverse the trade imbalance and to help the countries that we deal with have growing enterprises and growing economies so that they're not dependent on exports to the United States.
Right.
There are many countries that really promote their exports without really looking inward and looking at how they can promote growth internally. They are export machines, and what we're trying to do is get them to stimulate their own economies so that they are playing a fairer role in the international trading system.
Well, and the Danes are particularly positioned, aren't they, more so than maybe than any other country in the EU, at least as much as any other country, maybe the best position for becoming more entrepreneurial.
Absolutely. They have a foundation well in place, and moreover, they have a vision and a goal to pursue this so that they'll be the number one entrepreneurial economy in Europe by 2015. And what that means is generating more startups out of Denmark. And what's really refreshing is that they understand that those Danish startups may not stay in Denmark.
Yeah. They're cool with that, aren't they?
They are, and that's very refreshing.
Why would they?
Because this isn't necessarily about job creation. It's about wealth creation.
They've got full employment here, don't they?
That's correct. And so if they can do all that they can to stimulate greater wealth within Denmark, and they recognize that, sure, maybe these enterprises might go to the United States, so in essence they're outsourcing to the United States, they can have the entrepreneurs themselves stay in Denmark and perhaps some elements of the business stay in Denmark, but a large part of the business is bringing employment to the United States.
Well, the beautiful part about the 21st century is that you can create wealth almost wherever you are because of technology.
Correct. It's revolutionizing.
That's exactly right. Now, and folks, when we were talking about how Denmark is uniquely positioned, Randy,
one of the reasons is, unlike in other countries, many other EU countries, you can fire people here.
Correct.
And there's no structural socialistic infrastructure for policies, I guess I should say, for employment in Denmark like there is in Germany and France, for example.
Correct, indeed. And so the Danish labor market is actually held out within the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, as well as in the European Union, as being a model, a role model for other European and indeed other countries around the world on how to create a flexible labor market. I have to say it's probably not as flexible as the U.S. labor market, but nonetheless it is.
But they don't have as far to go, do they?
No.
And doesn't that really make when Denmark says they want to have I've forgotten exactly how they said it, an entrepreneurial economy by 2015, isn't that one of the main reasons why they might be able to accomplish that?
Indeed, I think that is one. There are obviously other obstacles, but the
taxes.
Correct.
They have a big problem, don't they, with taxes?
Yes,
most EUs, especially Scandinavian countries.
Correct. But you are right to say that flexible labor market is incredibly powerful for them. And remember that they are part of the EU, where there is now mobile labor across borders.
Right.
And so Denmark.
A lot of Germans are coming to Denmark to work, aren't they?
Correct. So again, they have full employment. They need workers, but they also need to create wealth to provide for the social system that they have in place, hence the higher taxes.
Exactly. And you know, you and I talked about this yesterday a little bit about, you know, there's got to be a moment in time if they're going to really promote entrepreneurship where the taxes are going to have to be adjusted. And until they can get the revenue generated from the economy, there's going to have to be a little bit of a gut check here in Denmark, isn't there?
Correct.
Are we going to be willing to put up with the transition, so to speak?
Well, indeed, and during the keynote address, which unfortunately you weren't able to be a part of, Mr. Andrew Sherman, who I know has been a guest on your show many times.
He's a good old friend. I know most of what he had to say.
Yeah, from Grow Fast, Grow Right. And indeed, that's what one of the points that he made in his keynote, which is that they're already paying the taxes. It's a matter of allocating the taxes to the appropriate areas to make them of best use to the Danish entrepreneurial economy.
Right. Randy, have to stop for a minute, take a quick break. You know how this works. We got to sell some things. We're going to come back. We got one more segment with you. When we come back, folks, I want Randy to tell us about what he's doing in other countries. You've done 20-something of these around Europe, and we'll do that right after these messages. It is 20 after the hour. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling in Denmark, in Copenhagen. It's a lot of fun here, folks. This is a beautiful part of the world. The this time of the year, in the summer, it's not quite summer here yet, but the weather has just been glorious since we've been here the last few days. It's rained just a couple of times, but not very much. Almost like Camelot, folks. Only the rain's only allowed to rain to come at night, I think, around here. But anyway, it's a great place to be. And of course, we're having a great visit with our new friend, Randy Mitchell, who is international trade strategist with the International Trade Administration, part of the U.S. Department of Commerce. And Randy, this event that we're doing in Denmark this week is one of dozens that you've done. And I misspoke a minute ago. I said around the EU. The truth is you've been doing this all around the globe, haven't you?
That's correct. This is perhaps number 24 around the world. We've been everywhere from China, three or four cities in China, three or four cities in Russia, Chile, Brazil, Finland, Sweden, Latvia, Thailand, and Japan, if I didn't already say that. So all over the world doing these.
So have you run out of countries? Are you through with these?
No, we're going to continue on, and we go back and do in-depth sessions. We've done now four in Stockholm.
Okay, because I want to be nice to you in case you decide to do any more of these. I'll be sure to be nice to you. I don't know if I'm sucking up enough to you or not.
You've done a great job today in your presentation, and that was enough, and that's all we're looking for.
I appreciate it. I enjoy doing it.
And to share the best practices from the U.S.
I congratulate you on what you're doing, and here's why. And I'm going to quote one of my favorite free trade mentors, the 19th century French economist and comedian, Frederick Bastiat.
Okay.
He said, when goods cross borders, armies don't.
Indeed.
What you're doing is part of peace on earth in the 21st century.
Well, terrific, and that's well said, and I really appreciate it. Of course, this is a program of the International Trade Administration, and as Ambassador Kane said today here in Denmark and Copenhagen, that this is also an important tool of diplomacy for the United States government. However, I'm not here on a diplomatic mission. Mine is a trade mission because I work for the International Trade Administration. What I'm trying to do is help U.S. companies export and have a level playing field abroad. And again, if we can go to these big commercially significant markets that we've already spoken about and help them open their markets or be more entrepreneurial, then ultimately, of course, it's helping U.S. companies and U.S. entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. Talk to us about some of the other countries you've been to and what kind of hope you have for those countries becoming more entrepreneurial and being more interested in free trade with you. In increasing trade with the United States.
Very good. Let me first address why we're actually in the EU. You highlighted that earlier and why we're in Denmark. Some might say, well, we're in one of the wealthiest economies in the world. Why on earth do we, what is it that we have to share with them? What are we doing here? And the point is, of course, that these economies are very far along. You've already noted that in your comments today. Denmark is so far along in becoming a highly successful entrepreneurial economy that whatever that we can do in our own small way, having you here today and making the presentation that you did, they're so ripe for taking what you have said and implementing it as a policy that our impact is much faster than, I'm sorry to say, in some of the emerging markets
like,
that don't have...
For example?
Well, I wouldn't ordinarily be put on the spot and say that because
it's fair to say, I think.
Very good. Then I think some of the Latin American countries.
Okay. I mean, that's no big surprise to them. I mean, they understand that.
That's correct. So the countries that don't protect intellectual property, countries that don't have a rule of law.
Property and other property rights, not just IP.
Indeed. Actually, physically owning one's home and having deed to that home is the number one source of financing for U.S. entrepreneurs, but it's not the case for small businesses internationally. Right here in Denmark, they have a very sophisticated mortgage system. One could borrow against their home, but they don't. Yet it's the number one source of financing for an entrepreneur in the United States is that mortgage on his home.
Right. That was interesting to me. Another thing was interesting to me is the attitude about risk over here. One of the things that seems that you find in a highly socialized country like the Scandinavian countries are, is their aversion to risk. And that's a challenge. That's going to be one of the challenges for them, isn't it?
Well, it's an enormous challenge, and it was a real eye-opener for our panel, a panel similar to the one you're on today, which was in Stockholm last October and November, I guess it was, in Oslo. And in an order of priority, the respondents said, first, they'd like to be employed. Second, they'd like to be unemployed. And third, they would like to be an entrepreneur. So for our entrepreneurial experts who were there as panelists, that was a real eye-opener.
Right. Why do they say they would like to be unemployed?
Well, the system is built such that the social benefits are so great that you actually risk giving up so much by being an entrepreneur or, let's say, a failed entrepreneur. Because after all, isn't that what they're most concerned about?
Yes.
Is the failure.
That's right.
And so if they fall, there's no, as you brought out today in your presentation, a safety net.
Right.
The safety net actually abandons, in some country, the safety net of social security and welfare abandons them if they're entrepreneurs.
And they can't even be, and there's really no infrastructure or fertile soil around them like we have in the United States to allow them to build their own net.
That's correct. And this is a very important distinction. Some of these economies, they have very, very favorable social conditions. So when you become unemployed, you are okay. You're just fine. But if you're self-employed and you become unemployed, you're treated differently.
Well, very interesting. Give us the website where someone can go and find out what you guys are doing. Is it right here? It's, let's see, I have it.
We have export.gov.
Export.gov, that's one, right?
Yes.
My audience
probably
knows I give that out all the time.
Yes, that's the key one.
Yeah, export.gov, that's the main
yes.
one. And folks, Randy Mitchell, as I mentioned, is international trade strategist with the International Trade Administration.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.